It's a new year, and it's time for new possibilities, and do we ever need them? Cricket Wireless can help you make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
Most of us want a simple and personalized way to explore our beauty options, especially if, like me, you're less beauty obsessed and more beauty casual, as Birchbox puts it. The best way to really get to know new products is with expert guidance from Birchbox. Birchbox exists to simplify all of your beauty and grooming product options out there. Every month, Birchbox experts select 5 deluxe size samples tailored to your unique beauty profile, put together a cheat sheet that tells you what to use each product for and how, and then wrap it all up in a beautifully designed box. You can test drive products at your own pace, on your own terms. And when you find something you like, you can buy the full size on Birchbox.com. And you earn loyalty points for doing it. So if something's not for you, you haven't had tons of money spent, tons of time and effort finding that out. Join the Birchbox community today by heading over to Birchbox.com/friendzoned with a D at the end. And use promo code FRIENDZONED to get 50% off your first box when you subscribe for at least 3 months. That's promo code FRIENDZONED at Birchbox.com/FRIENDZONED for 50% off your first Birchbox. Happy shopping.
Get FRIENDZONED.
Welcome to the FRIENDZONE.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in a zone. Let's get live.
Really does it wrong.
Yes, really. Yes, really. Now I'm going to tell you why.
No.
Bring it all together. Allow me to be the hands that braid the ties that bind here, okay? Now.
Oh, my God.
You might hear Jennifer Lopez, right? Okay? But where was she singing that? She was at the White House and she was singing to America. It's really to the whole world, okay? But on behalf of America. And you may hear Jennifer Lopez, but I hear the American people, okay? When saying, let's get loud, a collective outcry to get loud and celebrate and turn up, okay? Because on February 10th at 12:13 p.m., McDonald's tweeted, and I quote, y'all, we did it. High C Orange is coming back. So yes. Like I'm saying, now, y'all, you know, you might have heard Jennifer Lopez. I feel like she was, you know, singing and screaming, I should say, on behalf of the American people as an outcry to celebrate because High C Orange is back, goddammit, at McDonald's. And I thought it was only right to do this during Black History Month because everybody knows that when Black people go to McDonald's, we was all getting the same thing to drink, High C motherfucking Orange.
You Beyond really love
that,
it.
That this really a thing. I wore orange.
It is a treat.
Oh my!
Wow!
Y'all,
you know, I wore orange sweats to celebrate because it's time to. She the one said, "Let's get loud." You heard it. She said, "Let's get loud."
I'm so glad I didn't wear my orange and set myself up because I didn't want to encourage this.
And she was singing to America the Beautiful. So all I got to say is, it's a celebration for Black people and America as a whole, all people. How appropriate that Jennifer Lopez was singing for all people on behalf of us when she said, let's get loud, to celebrate the return of High C Orange, because it's a cause for celebration. And I'm going to get me some. I can't wait. I know you can't either. With that being said, welcome to your weekly look at all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental citrus grove, because who in the hell don't want some High C Orange? I know I do. Hello, friend. Hello, Asante. Friend, how you doing?
I'm good. Wait, so I have a question, because I missed the whole Jennifer Lopez Let's Get Loud moment.
Oh, my God.
I just saw the clip. I saw the clip, obviously, because it went viral. But so was she brought on to sing Let's Get Loud, or she was singing something else and then just threw that in there to just jazz it up?
She was singing America the Beautiful, right?
Oh,
what was she singing?
God.
It was a classic. Hold on. Let's find out.
And
Jennifer.
They hired J-Lo. That's interesting.
Yep. Lopez, America. Hold on, America.
I just want
America the Beautiful. She was singing America the Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, she was singing This mm-hmm. Land Is Your Land and America the Beautiful. It was like a mashup.
Okay.
And so she just cut it. She added that in. And it caught every, literally, it caught that one bar. It caught everybody off guard when she did it. Because who was expecting to hear fucking, first of all, we were surprised. She looked beautiful. She had on like this all white Chanel.
As always.
Yeah, like it was perfect dress for the occasion. That's one of the best things about inaugurations is seeing everybody kind of, cater their image consulting to like, or their image, I guess, to like something conservative for the occasion.
Right,
so I
right.
love seeing how people, seeing everybody's take on that. So anyway, she had on like this white, like Chanel blouse and like coat, you know, different layers, a white hat. Her white man was with her. No, I'm just playing. She had everybody with her though. And she was singing This Land Is Your Land and America the Beautiful, a mashup. And out of nowhere, she just launched into that, let's get loud.
You know what's funny? I bet you when she was with her vocal coach and they were like rehearsing the song, she was probably mm-hmm. like, you know what would be crazy, yo?
And she was 100% right, because it was crazy. Deranged. That's like, how it felt. It just felt so obtuse of the rest of the performance. And I think that's what made people start laughing. Because
right.
it wasn't, if I'm being fair, like, nobody's saying Jennifer Lopez is, you know, Celine Dion as a vocalist, right? But she didn't sound bad. She didn't sound, it wasn't like an amazing
she
vocal.
She carried the tune.
She carried the tune. And so for that, I think we all would have been excited, I guess. But the fact that it was just so, it was jarring. Like, it just came out of nowhere. It would be like me singing the national anthem and then being like, or doing like the chorus of March Madness at the end of the fucking national anthem. You know what I'm saying? Then going back to the national anthem. It would be like that. Like, just why is this? Why is this?
Why did this happen?
Square like, Fran, peg in a round hole. You know what I mean?
Fran, you definitely have my imagination going too wild, because I'm like, imagine that conversation play out and the dude being like, you got to hit him with Let's Get Loud. And her being like, it's
you
perfect.
You already see it. You see
it's
how
perfect.
People
it's time.
How people fall into things
it's time.
Like that.
Like you know yep. how the artists be like really witty and then just be like short. They be like, yep, it's time. It's time.
Of all the things to say. I wish she would have sang like Waiting For Tonight. If she would have just
no,
hit us
you
with
didn't.
A. Oh, she could have did that. She could have just hit us
like,
with that.
Oh, oh.
Let me tell yeah. y'all something. If them green lights would have started hitting, if them green lights would have came down.
America the beautiful, beautiful. She could have did it like that. You know what I'm saying? It's ways to arrange that. She could have mm-hmm. done that. But that Let's Get Loud out of your whole catalog. Girl, if it was ever time to start stripping your clothes off and walking away, that was it. Fuck that beach challenge. That was the time to just leave
no,
it there on the
no,
floor.
No, stop. But did either one of you click that challenge, like the hashtag?
And nope. And no. nobody else did either, because they said nobody did it.
Her video was the only one.
What'd you find, Brent?
Nothing. I found nothing.
She's too busy getting loud.
Let's get loud. So before we jump in, does anyone have an announcement this week?
Yes. I want to thank the New Haven Cultural Society Woo! And Department of Cultural Affairs. I was blessed to moderate a conversation with their keynote speaker, Dr. Bettina Love. Shout out to Bettina Love, an incredible, incredible powerhouse in the activism space and media landscape. She's doing some great work. A Harvard fellow who created this intersection of hip hop, civics, social justice and being brazenly and boldly queer in media spaces. Like, it's just incredible the work that she's been doing. So shout out to her. We had a great conversation as the keynote address for the Unapologetically Radical Conference 2021. So huge thank you to Tiffany and Karina over there in New Haven, the city of New Haven, Connecticut, their Department of Cultural Affairs. Thank you for choosing me. We had a great conversation. Cannot wait to work with them again. And shout out to Dr. Bettina Love. She is the coolest person ever. Look Aww. Her up. Yes.
And I heard you did amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. I saw her people in the comments that were like, Dustin, you facilitated that conversation with such ease. And you were sharp and good. And it was just a very well put together conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. They gave me the perfect companion in that conversation. Right. Dr. Bettina Love has done so many great things. So researching her work was a pleasure. And encouraging her to go a little bit deeper into the reasons why and the intention behind her work was an honor. So it was great. Thank you, friend.
Yay. I'm so excited. Okay, so
Dustin,
I need the ecosystem activated for this announcement.
Yeah.
Not so much for me, even though that's always welcome. But so Noah.
Yes.
we've been sitting on this one for a while. Noah. Of the daughter of Jaden, who is Jaden, friend? Jade of all Jades, mm-hmm. Our sister, one of my best friends. So I had the opportunity to work with Twitter and Ritz Crackers. They first hit me, and admittedly, I was like, I don't really know how I would align with the crackers because. It just seemed random for
and
me.
I love
to...
me a Ritz cracker. I ain't even gonna lie. Okay. I love Ritz crackers.
But that's the thing. Ritz crackers are those crackers that like you eat the whole box. So it's not that they're bad, but it was me. Y'all know how I work when it comes to like brand campaigns. What does it mean to me? I wasn't sure how I could align with it. But then I was like, hold up, Noah. Because every time I go over to Jay's and Noah's has like, we have tea parties and she always has Ritz crackers. So I was like, I asked them, I said, would y'all allow me to have someone be in it with me? Or does it have to be me? And then they were like, well, what are you thinking? I was like, I'm going to create a treatment and come back to you guys. Created a treatment that actually put Noah as the star of the commercial. And I'm more of like a supporting act. And it gave her the opportunity, first of all, to shine because everyone knows Noah is an absolute star.
Yes.
So we want to get
natural born.
We want to get her real popping. And this was a perfect opportunity at this level. And, you know, she got a check. She's going to have a little digital commercial.
Noah, that's like, right.
She's the lead. It was completely centered around her. And she put in so much work, you guys. It was a 10-hour set. Which is funny because it's only 30 seconds long. Yep. It's a 30-second digital commercial, but it took 10 hours because working with a kid is actually very challenging.
Yeah.
Because she gets tired. Mm-hmm. We had to, like, let her have her snacks and nap and playtime, and it was a lot that had to be created around her. That's just how it goes, you know, star of the show. But I really would love for everyone to help me affirm her when you see it released. It's going to be on Twitter. It's going to be this week. I'm guessing around Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
Definitely before Sunday because it's a Black History Month campaign. And it's going to be a promoted tweet on Twitter, which y'all know can be a little scary sometimes because that means everybody's going to see it. And y'all know how the people are on Twitter. But I would love to see your support in the comments and just helping me boost it so she can feel good. You know, she, like I said, put in a lot of work. She's very excited about this. This is her first campaign. So shout out to Noah Verrett.
Yes.
Shout out to Twitter. And shout out to Ritz Crackers for the opportunity to create a campaign exactly how I wanted to create it, centering a wonderful star of a little Black girl. So can't wait for y'all to see it.
I cannot wait to see it.
It's adorable. Honestly, it's very kiddie. You know, it's just we made sure to create something that she was comfortable with. So
young Noah the boss.
Cannot wait for this.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to share it.
Yay. And thank you guys.
Shout out to you for masterminding that whole thing.
Man, and what a blessing to even be able to move like that. So like I said, it'll be up this week, and we would love your support on Twitter. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm at HeyFranHey, pretty much across the board. So that's where it will be, and that's it for me. Are y'all ready to jump into the Black Business of the Week?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Asante, you got us this week with the Blackest Business.
That's right, I do, Fran. I see we was dipping in them Twitter streets for the blackest business. I unfortunately, I am not good with my French. I feel like this is French, but the at is @J_SaisPas. You know what your name is. Anyway, she tweeted us and said, would y'all consider featuring my mom's business for the weekly black-owned business feature? Of course we would feature your mama. @BosoKitchen, that's BOSO_kitchen, sells gourmet spice nuts, shipped nationally, and vegan soups, only available in the DMV. They've got about 8 different flavors with the vegan and vegetarian options. And I was over on their Instagram looking, and when I'm telling you, they've got nuts for days. I'm talking turmeric chili cashew or almond nuts. We've got honey chipotle peanuts.
Oh my.
I mean, just nuts for days. I saw somebody harassing them in the comments, asking them about mailing some soup out to them. And they were like, you know, we're working on our recipe for the box soup. So, you know, get with them if you're looking for that and if you love some soup and you're in the DMV area, okay? So again, that's @BosoKitchen, BOSO_kitchen. So thank you, Jay Say Pie. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Please tell me if I'm wrong. I just want to feel like I'm cultured.
Je ne sais pas.
Parlez-vous français? I'm going to leave the next part.
Parlez-vous français?
Remember on Martin when Myra, when all her hair fell out of Shanae's salon, and they tried to tell her it was French. The being bald headed look is French. She's like, parlez-vous français?
Lord. Well, there it is for you. That's the blackest business, because I know black people love some nuts, and these are gourmet spiced
black
nuts.
Black people love some
you
nuts.
You know black people love nuts. I immediately thought of my own mama when she said that. I was like, you know, my mom used to love
boiled peanuts. I remember
peanuts,
my
some
stepdad
brittles.
Stayed with some boiled nuts. Peanuts. All of that.
All of that.
So on last week's episode, titled U-Haul Y'all. Thank you, Dustin. It was a shoot the shit episode. As always, y'all know how those go. And as always, you had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
Well, I actually wanted to take a moment. I didn't choose someone that listened. I'm so sorry. Just because I had an incident myself recently, and this ties into a couple of things. We're gonna start from the beginning. You know, Dustin started with the high C orange. I decided that I was gonna have my delivery delivered, and so, you know, McDonald's delivers. My delivery driver wanted to battle it out with me about bringing this delivery, and when I'm talking to you, like, I was actually down the stairs and they wanted me to come outside, and I was like, now we're getting too far away from the goals here. And, you know, we just talked last week about all of this. So the fact that I even said to myself, you know, I should just stay inside, but, you know, I'm going to go down. I go downstairs, you know, take me a little trip. I'm going to wait on the first floor. The lady driver literally would not get out of her car. She said that there was no parking. I was like, ma'am, I'm literally right here in the lobby. You just have to bring it up the stairs to me. She was like, I can't do that. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go back upstairs and you can take the food back. So I did not get to enjoy my high C orange this morning. So when you mentioned that earlier, I thought about, wow, I almost had my high C orange when I had the munchies earlier and ordered my Mickey D's, because I battled that with my delivery driver.
It spilled all in her purse.
I hope
the
it got
from
all
the drink
over her motherfucking
all of her
ass.
Electronics and phone.
I was so mad to the point where she texted.
Nope.
She was like,
she was very happily drinking it on her way to the next delivery.
She could have it at that point, because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, all right, because customer service called me. They were like, your delivery driver said they're trying to give you your food. And I was like, yeah, she's actually not. And you can actually cancel my order and tell her to keep it, because at this point, I feel like she did something to it. Like, she literally been chilling for 15 minutes and she could have just came up the stairs. She can have it. We're done. So that was my story. Not a comment from you guys. I'm so sorry for all you out there listening. I just had to vent and rant right quick. Fran, what did you find out there, hopefully, in those SoundCloud streets?
Actually, funny enough, one of our listeners, wish I had your name, so sorry that I don't. She messaged me and was like, girl, you bold arguing with that guy, the one that was like, I ain't even gonna hold you. Because she said, what if he spit in my food? And I'm like, listen, you're right. There may be a possibility that he could have tampered with it on the way up. But I still wasn't going downstairs.
Going. Period. And they have all those stickers and shit now too, like,
and tape. Over, yeah, yeah. Right. The one that I, because they probably know what's going on. So they right. my food was actually taped, and you could tell if it was tampered with. Now a drink is a little different because they can just lift the lid and you're asked out. But I wasn't too worried about the food. But yes, a lot of you were like, girl, I would not play that. You got to argue later. And someone did say also that the tip isn't shown until after the delivery is ordered, which is
why. It depends on what you use. Oh, for them. Yeah, yeah.
For the drivers. Yeah. Right. They were saying that that's probably why some of them won't make the extra effort if we tip extra, because they might not even see that until after.
Well, if just like whoever told you that that's how it works, guess who else knows that that's how it works? Them goddamn drivers, because every order they get, they has a blind tip in. So they should know that there's the room there for the person to be a good tipper
right.
before you show your ass. So you miss us with them excuses, and that goes for your household and mine. Okay.
So, I don't know why I want that to be a show or something.
Punchline household and mine,
and that goes for your household and mine. Like, so you live in everything.
Nah, because you know that's black shit. That's AAVE. You know, sometimes when you gotta go off and make your point, you know, you gotta get the end word of that sentence sometimes. Your household and mine. Okay.
On SoundCloud, Dre21 said, Zoom bombing is so real, which actually made me laugh because I don't know why this is so funny to me. During the first quarantine, my medical school held many wellness events for students via Zoom. Suffice it to say, during the yoga session, we were Zoom bombed. These random ass people joined the session and started roasting.
Man, I hope they told us some of the jokes. You can't tell us that and then not tell us what the people were saying.
What they said?
Oh shit. She said, imagine being body shamed at a wellness event. Okay, well that's different.
Damn,
that's different.
No.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, no.
I'm not gonna say what face the guys are making. So
yeah, no.
That is very terrible, but Zoom bombing is so funny to me. I can't get over it.
It's funny because it hasn't happened to you, Fran.
You're right. Because if it had happened during a funeral, I probably, low-key, I would have laughed. Yo. But I would have been like, this is terrible.
Because there's nothing you can do about it. And you know that. So you can't beat them, join them. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to appreciate.
You got to roast back.
Yeah, you do. You do. You got to get their ass
Justin
up off you.
Justin would have gotten up, gone up to the laptop and started roasting.
It would have looked like I was in one of them fisheye lenses. Because I would have had my face right up on the camera. Do you hear me?
And bitch, and don't you know?
Oh shit! What about
because
you?
Because sometimes you got to, you know.
Dustin, what about you? What'd you find in the Twitter streets?
All right. So first of all, I have to give a shout out to Raven, the science maven. There's two other words in her name,
so
but
cute.
I don't want to mispronounce her name. I believe it's Tien Tumbao. But I don't know if I'm
pronouncing
it right.
Tiene Tumbao. That's a Celia Cruz song.
Tiene Tumbao. Then that's it. Hey, I said it right.
You did. Come through.
Anyway, so she's an award-winning molecular scientist, educator, and rapper, right?
Ooh.
She also, anyway, that's who she is. So she tweeted, and y'all, I'm telling you, this changed my life, right? I told you she's a real, literal, molecular scientist, right? So she tweeted, it's my job as a scientist. First of all, let me tell you how I found this. So I saw a tweet that said, Carisha Brownlee, PhD, right? And I'm like, why would somebody say Young Miami had a PhD or whatever? So, of course, you know what I'm saying? I went to the tweet or whatever, and I want to give a shout out to the author of that tweet before I go any further because it matters.
Like, I am dead thinking about you reading that name and really wondering.
Yeah. Okay, so shout out to Sir Michael King, at Sir Michael King, who tweeted Carisha Brownlee, PhD. And he had quoted this tweet from Raven, the science maven. So I'm like, let me read this. She said, it's my job as a scientist and rapper to let you know that when Young Miami said, quote, Pneumonia Pink Diamonds Got the Corona on the Said Something remix, the Moneybagg Yo Said Something remix. Again, the quote was, "Pneumonia Pink Diamonds Got the Corona." That's the line, right? Then she continues the tweet. She says, she is scientifically accurate in describing that pneumonia is pink when cultured in the lab. On wow. top of that, her jewelry is sick. And she accompanied the tweet with a picture of pneumonia actually being cultured in the lab to show the color pink that it is, and a picture of Young Miami.
A genius.
Yeah. So Carisha Brownlee, PhD. So I went to, so once I saw that tweet, I'm like, okay, this lady is obviously like a genius. So
bridging all the gaps.
Right. So I'm like, let me go to some of her other tweets. She continued. Also, she prefaced this lyric saying, quote, "Follow the drip, my jewelry sick," period. Postnasal drip can often be a symptom of a respiratory illness, and she follows up by naming two respiratory illnesses. So, Carisha, like to hear her bars being broken down and interpreted by an
actual science
molecular scientist. Like, wow. Right? This is incredible. So, shout out to Raven the Science Maven. She literally made
That's
my
so
day.
Tight.
I have never, you know. And so, Carisha, shout out to Young Miami, PhD.
Wow.
PhD.
Mensa. She's in Mensa.
Are y'all ready to jump into this week's conversation?
Yes.
I think so.
It's going to be good. I'm glad y'all. So y'all both watched Fake Famous.
Did.
I did.
Did. And I'm hoping all of you listening did as well. If not, there are going to be spoilers. So press pause now and go watch it. Or just join us in
spoilers.
The conversation.
Because we spoiling the hell out of this.
Yeah, because, we're going to talk about it. So do what you got to do. But I will jump right in. So former New York Times and Vanity Fair tech reporter Nick Bilton designed and documented a year-long social experiment where him and his team critically, quote unquote, examined the multi-billion dollar influencer industry. To do this, he put out a casting call in Los Angeles with one simple question. Do you want to be famous? And according to the New York Post, and they also mentioned it somewhere in the documentary, 5,000 people responded.
That was the first lie they told.
You said that was what?
The first lie they told him. The whole thing was full of lies.
You
and
think?
That was, and that, it was. And that was the first lie they told. Anybody that can buy bots and all of that to come up with some
That's
data.
That's true, right?
I
That's
don't
very
believe
true.
5,000 people. In the day and age of trafficking and all this stuff, why would you respond to an ad that said, do you want to be, I got one question, do you want to be famous? You mean tell me 5,000 dummies was like, oh yeah, take me, here I am.
I hate to say it, but I believe him.
I was surprised it wasn't more, honestly.
This is LA. Literally, right. When they were doing the auditions, I'd say 3 out of 5 people said, I model and I act.
Like, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that is the culture of Los Angeles. So Bilton said his goal with this documentary was to turn 320-somethings from different walks of life to see how becoming bona fide Instagram superstars would work out for them. This is a lot. Bilton told the New York Post, we wanted to show that just anyone, really anyone, could do it. It's just a number game and that's it. The reason he got inspired to do this was because he read that kids in America want to be influencers more than any other career. Remember when you were younger, and people would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? Normally the answers were like, a lawyer, a doctor, a pediatrician, a veterinarian, an astronaut, right, a teacher. But now it's an influencer. And he apparently is not feeling that. So for him, this project was about exposing the lies internet personalities tell to make it online, shedding light on the darker side of the industry. And I quoted that directly from an article with him on the New York Post.
Okay.
So let's talk about the three people that he decided on.
Shall we?
He chose an aspiring actress from Miami who moved to LA to pursue acting by the name
very forgettable. Very forgettable.
Very plain. The name
of Dominique Druckmann, who starting out only had 1,137 followers, and by the end of this, she had 250,000 followers. That is quite the growth. Then we also had Chris Bailey, who was the fashion designer who moved to LA from Arizona. Remember him?
Yeah.
You know what? Can we just take a moment before we do that? Can we just take a moment for each of them? Because I have so much that just needs to come out now, right? Like, we started with Dominique.
Well, let me just say who the third person was, and then we can go into each one. And then the last person he chose is Wiley Heiner, this part made me laugh. I wonder if y'all laughed at this. Who relocated from Atlanta.
Right.
In pursuit of a livelier gay community. And that really opened my eyes to the fact that it must be two different worlds for gay white men.
I ain't even gonna say nothing.
You know, I literally did the Love and Hip Hop quote. I said, it must be two Atlantas.
Must be two Atlantas.
For sure. And let's be clear, there is a very vibrant and thriving white gay scene in Atlanta.
I would have thought. Thriving. I mean, that kind of confused me.
I can tell you what it means. Whenever somebody says they're from Atlanta and then says some shit that does not make sense, it means that they're from like Macon or something.
Outside,
like somewhere
on the right.
Yeah, like Augusta
on
or
the
something.
Outskirts. So,
like, what are you doing, Wiley? And then he didn't. Yeah, sorry. What are you doing, Wiley? Continue, right. Friend.
And I had the nerve to complain about that haircut. Have you seen yourself lately? This is an improvement.
He picked these three people who he claimed were unassuming, which I thought was such an insult. Imagine someone calling you that. During the auditions, though, people came in and were hula hooping, praise
making
dancing,
fools of themselves.
Dancing basically. Salsa. There was a young woman who sang opera. Then they had them do this thing where they were like, take selfies of yourself. And then they showed how they take selfies. They asked them, why do you want to do this? And people were like, I want to be the change that the world needs to see, and all the other Tumblr quotes that we love.
I want to show them people like me exist. It's like, okay, girl, like what?
But what they all had in common was they all had big dreams of being famous.
Big dreams of nothing.
So here's the thing. Let's jump into the three people now that they did pick out of all of this. So let's start with Dominique Druckmann. I was going to call her Druckmann.
Might as well. She was lit the whole damn thing. And she was lying anyway, because the more and more opportunities started opening up for her, you could see that sparkle in her eye. She really did just want the attention and the free things. And
absolutely. And listen, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with that if it's really what you want.
Yes,
if all
is.
You want is stuff and fame
yes,
and
is,
attention,
friend.
Then do your thing. You know, that's why I felt like she was the most moldable of all of them. I think Chris in the documentary called her a piece of clay. Like he was like, she was a piece of clay. Like you could literally do what you wanted and she was down. She came in with the fame by any means necessary. So when they gave her the opportunity to change her hair, they were designing a lot of really
the
fake...
top model makeovers.
Right, the top model makeovers that somehow makes you look worse. I don't know. They were creating fake photo shoots to kind of give her like a high end lifestyle. So they took like remember it was a toilet bowl.
And put it up on a television screen. It looked like she was on an airplane.
It looked
traveling.
Like she was on the airplane. There's that
the toilet
room
seat.
That people in LA, mainly for films, reality. But, you know, a lot of influencers rent the room as well because it mimics the inside of a private jet. I have seen influencers' spots be blown when they post from that place because at this point everybody knows about it. And it's like, girl, get out of that room.
So, like, for real.
But it's common. That is something that a lot of people do. They did show one young lady who wrote that she was in Bali, but she was actually in a tub in IKEA.
Yeah.
And decorated.
That shit was hilarious.
I mean, hey, you got to give it to people for the creativity.
She was being real about it on Instagram, like bragging at about least. That shit.
Right. So how did you guys feel about Dominique Druckmann as the first pick out of 5,000 applicants?
It just literally was plug and play for me. Very much, you know, watch whiteness work. I saw right. her, you know, even like on that influencer. I don't want to jump ahead of your, you know.
No. Wherever you need to take your it, go path. Ahead.
But I noticed when they went on that influencer trip to Vegas, I think it was. Mm-hmm. There was one black girl, and she, her features as were a usual. Bit more ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing this girl kind of just plug and play and literally be able to mimic a formula that she saw these other people around her executing. For her, for it literally to just watch the plan work was a bit off-putting for me because there right. was no challenge. And I guess because of my personal experience, I'm so accustomed to there being challenges or hindrances to success or to just a clear path. To see this girl literally just say, oh, you know what? I'm finna do that. And, oh, that's what they doing.
And the world was her oyster.
Literally. I'm like, what the fuck? And she was so nondescript. Right. I just could not believe, you know, that this... literally average, and I'm not judging her looks, I'm just saying like there was nothing outstanding about her talents that she displayed in this. I don't know if right. she's talented otherwise in life, but in this piece there was nothing displayed that made her like noteworthy or exceptional,
like stand out.
Very vanilla, paint dry Chevrolet, you know, just like it just was nothing exciting about her. And so watching her literally, because that really happened for her, she had the increase of engagement, she's yeah. reaping the benefits.
I went
she's
to
working.
Her page yesterday and she's at almost 400,000 followers
yeah
now.
She's wow. working, and I'm not hating, but it just was like wow to see it just so simply lay out for her. Was it was a reminder of sorts, as
yeah
say.
And I love that you're saying that, because I do feel that white women influencers have a very easeful trajectory. Obviously, I'm not going to make a blanket statement.
No.
There are people that have their challenges, and we know that. But for the
like
most
honey
part...
Like Honey Boo Boo them. Mama June!
You are so ridiculous. But shit, even Mama June out here living better than
Mama
me.
Mama June, hell yeah, she done got knifed the fuck. I said, if it's ever been somebody that got went under, over, and around the knife, she done had every fucking surgery you could have.
Hey, you know, but it was hard to see, I agree, but also yeah. not surprising. I would have loved to have seen him pick a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
to
let's
me,
see what you can do with that, Mr. Magic Hands. Since
thank
you got
you.
Your fucking degrees and you know everything, I would like to see what he could do.
That to me would have been the real story, because a white woman thriving is like preaching to the fucking choir.
Mm-hmm.
Put a mm-hmm. dark skinned black woman and make her a bona fide Instagram star, and now we're talking, because then we're gonna see the real. He's talking about the dark side of the industry. That was not the dark side of the industry,
no,
what we
not.
Witnessed at all. At all. People buying bots and having different emotional challenges with it is not the dark side of the industry. We touched on it last week, the challenges that we face as black creatives. And I'm going to be real here. I am one of the quote unquote ambiguous black girls that does mm-hmm. get hired because I'm the safe black mm-hmm. girl. And when I first started in this industry, I didn't know that. I was just like, oh, cool. You know, I'll be the only black girl once again, because that kind of was my life, even in schooling and just in different realms. But then, you know, you start to kind of smarten up as you're in this business. Like, oh, okay. Now I see the play at hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is exactly why you just executed that brilliant campaign with Ritz Crackers that's coming out soon.
And
you mastered how to take ownership of your existence
of
within
narrative.
Those spaces.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, to show even further, you'll see at the top of that commercial, I purposely put a brown woman to open the commercial with her natural hair, her beautiful skin, because I was like, when we finally get the opportunities to narrate and produce and create the content the way we want, I'm going to not only put money in my community's pocket, which is what I did, because it was like, you know, we had extras on set. We had the production team. It was a crew that all ate off of me getting that campaign. So that's number one. But number two, you also have to be mindful of what you're putting out, you know, as far as like who you're giving opportunities to. That's something that I've had to learn too through being in this and being accountable for my skin, giving me more opportunities than other women in my community. So that's number one. Right. So I would have loved to see that, you know, mm-hmm. but I also can't expect a white man to be thinking about these things. I should not be surprised, but it would have been awesome because there were a lot of black women that we saw in the auditions. So I don't know why they weren't picked.
And hey, this is a great thing that this kicked open the door to a view to this type of work in this way and the study Absolutely. Of how it works, because now the conversation can evolve and grow to a deeper dive that takes a look at race and the way that affects how this marketplace is
and class.
And class especially, how this marketplace is experienced. So it's a good thing that, you know, this started the conversation. I'm just saying, these are my eyes, right?
No, but I think you touched
this
on
is what I saw.
You touched on the blind spots. I think that's perfect, because even the class aspect, there are a lot of influencers of all races that have money, and that's mm-hmm. already automatically going to put them in a different position, because mm-hmm. if, you know, I'm in the projects trying to find a fucking clean wall to film in front of, because mm-hmm. you know how project walls have ridges and cracks mm-hmm. and probably mm-hmm. a roach you killed that the legs are still on the wall kind of. Mm-hmm. Everybody been there. So you're trying to find a good wall. You're trying to find something that don't sound crazy because somebody fighting upstairs. That's going to be hard to go up against the girl who's living in Beverly Hills and has a sick ass fucking crib with the, you know, shoes from that season. And she's on YouTube killing it because she's already a star before the cameras even started rolling. Right. And she had the money to get the best camera. She had the money to get a production company to come film it. Meanwhile, you're watching YouTube tutorials trying to figure out how to edit, trying to figure out how do I insert music into this video. You know, and you're going up against people that have full staff making them appear like stars. And so those are all the elements that, like you said, I think we're missing: the class, the race, mm-hmm. the gender. Like, you know, I think he kept it in a very superficial level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there could be spinoffs. There could be more, you know, that could be created. But I do think it was a very superficial look. That's why I said, quote unquote, critically, mm-hmm. when he said he was critically looking into it, I was like, I feel like that word was used lightly. Asante, what were your thoughts on Dominique, or just any other thing that we touched on?
You know, the guy that did this whole documentary, like, he was like a CNN dude defending fucking social media. And, you know, social media is where, I mean, everybody can capitalize, but, you know, white people still the ones capitalizing. So when I first saw Dominique, or when she was first even chosen and discussed, like, I'm going to actually parlay her into Wiley too, so we can stop talking about Dominique's ass or stop focusing so much on her. But Dominique, like, you see her working her job at Athleta or Lululemon or whatever the fuck she was, and she's being depressed. So they're showing you that, oh yeah, we're going to take an ordinary basic white girl and show you how she could become a star. And it was like, we already know that's a thing. And it's kind of to what everybody's been saying. It's like, we see all these white girls come up literally out of nowhere. Like, you never see a black person just kind of come up out of nowhere and be like, damn, who's that? It's always somebody that's been kind of working for a long time. And not to say that these white people don't work, but it's always just some random child. Like, how the fuck and why am I supposed to know what a JoJo CY is? Or like, why? So then I'm watching this shit where it's like, okay, they chose a basic ass white girl. Like, you had all these people. And then she didn't even seem like she was hungry for fame. She just seemed like, yeah, that would be cute, cool. So I was kind of confused as to why they didn't pick someone that was like, I don't know, at least kind of, you know, let's say they didn't want to be famous, but they were at least kind of charming. So it's like, oh, this would be cool. Or let's say they picked somebody that really wanted to be famous that wasn't necessarily like your first pick. It would have been cool to see them play around with the formula a little bit. But, you know, mm-hmm. because it was this, you know, white man from CNN defending social media, of course, him and whoever was on his team just took it back to, you know, the basics. But moving on to Wiley's not from Atlanta ass, He was another one. I was like, why did they choose him? Like, this nigga has a full-time job being an assistant with his two phones, driving this big truck. Like, he don't have time to post on social media. He already told us his story. He's a scroller. Like, he's not a poster. So why did they choose this person that's an assistant who don't want to take off his clothes, who is trying to, you know, has to take time off from the shoot to talk to his boss? I was just so confused why they chose some of these people. So, like,
yeah.
So that's my parlay into Wiley's ass. So y'all can have Wiley because he's not from Atlanta. I don't believe it. I need a receipt.
This is the friend zone.
The pandemic has really changed everyone's mental health. Some of us are juggling childcare with working full time in our homes. Some of us are fighting with our partners more than usual. And on top of that, many of us are encountering unexpected job changes and challenges. This all leads to a crushing amount of stress. Luckily, Talkspace Therapist lets you vent anytime you want. Talkspace therapists give you the support you need to feel your best. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. Your therapist can help you set aside and achieve your goals. I think you'll be amazed at how much progress you make each week that you attend therapy. We've talked about Talkspace forever. That's because it works. We're not talking about it because it's bad. Obviously, it's good. You've seen people go from bad to good using it. You've heard our mental health probably change a little bit. And maybe you might not have known we could have been using Talkspace. My therapist gave me practical guidance that really changed my life for the better. I'm so glad that I found Talkspace and got the support that I need. And you can, too. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code ZONE to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's ZONE, Z-O-N-E, and Talkspace.com.
Now, Wiley. Wiley was interesting to me because he just seemed very insecure. And and obviously a lot of us battle insecurities of varying degrees, so I'm not going to put that on him. We all battle with it.
Yeah.
But to hear him saying, like, oh, you know, this just seems like the thing to do and the thing to be. You know, he seemed very misguided and kind of directionless.
Brainless. Which
they're also in their early 20s. Like, hello. Oh. I mean, most
well,
of us.
Yeah,
which we have to take into account. These are young people that are coming into themselves. And social media is extremely popular, and it's a lot of pressure, you know, and everybody's seeing this lavish lifestyle. And I can imagine in my early 20s, I could see how I may have been impressionable in that sense too, you know.
For sure.
We have to be mindful of that. But it was sad to hear him, especially me being 38, that I am like older and have been in this industry for so long, to hear him think that this is going to give him something that I know at this age it's not going to give him. It doesn't give you purpose. It doesn't make you feel like you're changing the world. It doesn't do any of that, because you have to feel that way first to even receive any of that from this world. You know, like, it doesn't give you that. It's similar to when we were talking about Claude and Chuck when we had them on the show. Like, what happens, I think the episode was called What Happens to a Dream Achieved, when Claude and Chuck hit their goal in their mid-20s, and it was like, whoa, like, now what? But also, why do I not feel fulfilled
in the ways that I thought I would? Yeah.
In the ways that I thought achieving this shit was going to make me feel. And I think that that is the getcha gotcha of all of this, is that you're looking for something that actually has nothing to do with any of this. That's why I really appreciated Justine Bateman. Did y'all see her on there?
Question. Is she related to the actor, to Jason Bateman?
I think
she
looked siblings.
Just, I was like, this has got to be his sister. Go ahead.
Literally the same face, even their voice. But
Jason,
I did
Bateman
appreciate.
With a wig on.
I did appreciate one thing she said, when she said, what you're looking for is to be loved. You know, like, that's the bottom line. And I think that that's a lot of the questions I started asking myself, even about fame, about hypervisibility, about being in these platforms. It's like, what am I doing this for exactly? What's my end goal? And a lot of my end goal for me was freedom. Like, mm-hmm. I will create all these things because I'm a genuine creator and I love it. I love coming up with ideas. I love watering them and watching them blossom. But there's also the part of me that just wants to be free. There's a part of me that being in this, being someone who was in poverty in this system, how it's been created, I knew that I had to make money, break through, and buy my time back so that I could live free. And that's sad because it's the game you have to play in this fucking rat race. It's like, I have to buy my time. That's some slave shit. Yep. Like, I have to buy my freedom papers and it sucks, but it's the game we're in. And that's literally the only reason I do a lot of this shit, so that I could be home in my mm-hmm. fucking garden next year if I feel mm-hmm. like it. Mm-hmm. It's really not about people being like, oh shit, you did that. You're at the top. I don't care about the top. I don't care if I'm the best. I have nothing to prove. My life has completely shifted once I realized I have nothing to prove, but I am buying my time. And once I face that, it changes how you approach this, because I am not in the fight with competition of like who needs to be doing what so they know I'm the best at this. Like, I really don't care. I'm gonna get my check, create my fun shit, create stuff I love, and get the fuck out of here when I can, as soon as I can. And I think hearing him thinking that this was gonna fulfill him with like the purpose and love, and I'm like, oh, I wanted to hug him. Sweetheart. And be like, I'm so sorry to tell you. No, but it's just, you don't know that, you know, people don't know that these things don't give you that. You make money. I will never say, oh, making this kind of money has not brought me happiness. That's a damn lie, because living how I want to live, eating how I want to eat, traveling how I want to travel, being able to experience things, not being worried about if rent's gonna be paid next month or where it's coming from, like all those emotional insecurities that poverty does, not having that has changed my stress levels. And that changes your health. And changing your health allows you to think clear. Thinking clear allows you to live a life that's closer to who you want to be. Closer to freedom. Wow. Like, it's all tied into each other. So I will never be that person to tell you money hasn't changed my life. It has absolutely changed my life. My nervous system is different because mm-hmm. I'm not worried about where money's coming from for at mm-hmm. least a couple years. And that's a blessing. So don't ever listen to that shit. But I do agree that it's not everything. Right. You can still be in your bed sad as fuck with six figures in your savings. Yeah. Trust and believe. Like, it ain't gonna change your emotional makeup. You still have to meet life halfway. But being older, seeing these younger 20-somethings thinking that was disheartening, because I know that that's what a lot of up-and-coming influencers and people watching influencers think about this industry. How about Chris Bailey? What did you guys think of the only black dude to come on?
Did you have something to say about Wiley?
Yeah, before we transition to Chris Bailey, I just want to touch on Wiley for just a brief moment.
Yes,
please. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Please.
I thought that he, of all the people that were profiled in this piece, I thought he had the most appropriate first name, Wiley. Because the entire time that I was watching him on screen, I kept asking myself, why? Why is he here? Why are we profiling him? There was no one that was less interested in the process, less interested in participating. He wanted nothing but to reap the benefits. He pretended to not want to be shirtless in those photos. He eagerly gave a little shoulder when they asked for it.
He did too.
You know, yeah, he was such a fraud.
A little etched ab, if you will.
Etching of the abs. And then... on top of everything else, when the heat, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. He got out the kitchen. As soon as he got one message,
just
was,
one,
you know, a bit intrusive, you know, and maybe asking a bit more than they were entitled to know, he folded. The minute he got one message, like, well, yo shit, your thighs don't match, essentially. You know how people get their butt done, but the thighs don't match. That's how, you know, they got a fake butt. Basically, like, the first time somebody told him, like, your thighs don't match, he shut his whole thing down. Like, what's wrong with you? And did not want to engage at that point. It just showed a sign of weakness for someone who was so sure that he was so sure that he was unsure that he latched himself onto this. And so where was that confidence? You know what I mean? Where was the confidence that you had to basically, because that job that he had on the phone with that boss, he's going back to that job after this documentary, right? So there was a confidence that it took to even put that up front, because their boss is going to see this. Somebody's going to know you were saying that the person I work for is like this. And you going
back to
the
boss
job,
was a gay too. You know he watching.
You've abandoned this. I just, you know, like I said, the recurring thought was why. So I felt like he had a very appropriate
You are
first name.
Hilarious. But I will say I appreciated Wiley's character. You know why? Because I think I do agree with you. You know, in the beginning, it was like, why are you here? But I did appreciate that in the end, he realized I actually don't want to do this shit, because he ended up getting a new job. His life started changing. And what he realized was he just was so unhappy in his circumstance that this was like a form of escapism from that discomfort, as opposed to like actually facing the discomfort and being like, what are some things that I can change or work through or shift or modify to give me a life that feels closer to what I'm looking for? But he was just scrolling on IG for 6 hours a day, which most of us do.
Translation, so he wasted all of our time, and that's okay?
I think it is because
he was wasting his time. That's
exactly
the lesson he learned.
Not
if he got that new job.
For everybody.
Not if he got that new job.
But that's the point. He had to go through this to figure out he needed that new damn job, because he was at his old job and instead
miserable.
Of miserable.
You know,
and then whenever he would feel miserable, instead of going to look for a new job, he would just start scrolling.
I got gays for Trump vibes.
And think about it.
I got gays for Trump vibes.
I don't disagree with you there.
I got gays for Trump vibes.
But think
so
about
I'm gonna
it.
I'm going to give him the his for the rest of that conversation. Okay, he can talk to the hand. I ain't with Wiley.
No, but think about it. And I'm speaking for myself, but wondering if y'all can relate. When your life is feeling worse, do you not find yourself spending more time online?
No?
Do you
The only time I spend online when my life is going bad is listening to sad-ass music on YouTube and Apple Music and shit. And Spotify. That's where I be at online. I'm not engaging to see what the rest of some people who are getting on my nerves anyway are doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm...
Well, see,
that's
why I said...
me. I'm the opposite.
And like, that's why I said I'll speak for myself and see if you guys can relate. Because I notice, if I'm on Twitter a lot, I'm not really an Instagram person. I'm on there here and there. Twitter, I think, is probably my favorite. If I'm on there a lot, it's usually because I'm escaping something.
Okay. Mm.
When I'm okay and I'm like sleeping well, you know, eating well, on my shit, my work is making me happy, I'm creating. You know what? The month of February, this has been a hard month for me because my schedule is very tight.
You've been on Instagram. My
schedule was very tight. You know, I lost my grandmother. Excuse me, not lost. She transitioned. She's still in my life. But those things kept me so fulfilled and so present and so focused and just in a different space that I honestly didn't have time or even felt called. I didn't really feel called to be on Twitter like that because, like Dustin said, ain't nobody talking about nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm only down to talk about nothing when nothing's going on. Like, that's the correlation for me. So that's why I liked Wiley's story, because he realized it was his life feeling so fucking whack that made him want to do this in the first place. And once life felt good, he was like, I actually don't need this. Social media can be fun for me, but I'm not going to take it as seriously as I did before. I'm not going to allow the validation of even that stranger who called him out and literally stressed him out so bad he like didn't even want to do this shit no more.
Read him down to the ground and then DMs like that.
Talking about I'm watching, which was really creepy. Like,
but what killed me was
what?
how Wiley responded, talking about relax, honey. Like, it was
right.
Like,
gays
Wiley,
for Trump, what I tell you.
Meanwhile, it was
very
probably
much gays for Trump.
It was probably his boss's husband that sent him that, talking about, you know, he's not really out sick.
You know,
he's doing a show.
I think you're making a great point, friend, and I think that is an accurate take on Wiley's POV.
Right.
I don't like the motherfucker.
No, that's fine.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, I think you're right. I know you're right. Show you're right. Mm-hmm. Okay? I just don't give a damn. Fuck Wiley. Go ahead. Now, who's the third one? Chris, correct?
And then Chris, because I think, you know, Dominique showed the fame by any means necessary. Wiley showed I'm actually longing for a better life, but I think fake. I'm going to find it through this. Mm-hmm. And then we have Chris, who was the fashion designer who moved from Arizona to LA because he knew that he would have more eyes on his work and more opportunity. Once he came in, he was like, this is nuts. Like, he was not feeling all the bots and the fake comments when he started reading the comments, which blew
that
my mind.
Hilarious.
Because the comments seem so legit. And I was like, I know the people by followers. I know the people by likes. And I know that people by comments. But you can usually tell.
You can always tell.
You can usually tell because the person will have 800,000 followers.
And 103 likes.
And 103 likes. And the two comments will be like their homies from around the way. There's no actual fan base. There's no, like, international engagement. Like, when
her thighs
here,
don't match.
Like, when you're out here, you have people from around the world commenting. You know, it's like, it's different. It hits different. And so it's very easy to tell. That's why, like, I never fully understood why people do it. But
I personally don't understand.
You know what?
Why.
After watching that, is it that easy to tell that they're fake? Because I mean, well, yeah, some of those bots were obvious, but then you kind of saw, well, I was kind of in my mind seeing this process that, like, because, like, none of us have been interested in buying fucking bots, but in my mind I was like, this is like a real industry. Like, when he said that he was getting ripped
ecosystem.
Off by some 14-year-old in Egypt, I'm like, so there obviously is going to be some people that will leave better comment bots than others. Because some of those comments
I thought Chris's were good, though.
Yeah, for the most part, his comments seemed pretty okay.
Yeah,
and then there was like the one or two
me.
That was like, all right, you know this shit is fake. So in my mind, I was like, is it the quality of like whoever's code of bot that you buy? Like, cause
they need
the fact
a,
that
they
you
need
had
a
to buy,
black one. They need a black bot. Comment one.
Nah, I know. But the fact that you had to buy likes and then you had to buy engagement too, like, it was like, yeah, they'll like the post, but you got to buy a different one for the comments too, or a different one for the follows. I was like, there's tiers to this bullshit, and
bro,
people do it. I wonder, do the people that do it know that, or do they just find the person and buy it?
I understand it because people have they have attributed certain levels of success to a number system.
It's the absolute truth.
And I get that, but there are things that accompany your growth that you can tangibly see. You can ascertain about a person or entity based on where they're at as far as their growth. You can tell.
Right.
When you have the things that come along, the opportunities that come along, when you have a plan and you have the opportunities that come along with a high level of visibility, you have had certain experiences that legitimize your craft in ways that are tangible and you can literally see and feel. If having a high follower count is something that's going to be beneficial to you, it's because of the engagement with the audience, which you'll be able to see in the way that they respond to services you offer or to things that you share with them.
Mm-hmm.
When you connect with people, they feel something. So you make them feel things, and through the feelings that you cause in others, they are moved to then engage with you in other ways, which may look like offering you new opportunities that advance you. So you can see growth in a story, essentially, you know, when it happens organically or the right way. So when you buy those followers, when you buy those bots, and your page looks ashy, you have a high number of followers, no engagement, the quality of the content is poor. You know what I mean? That you can tell that there is an imbalance there, and you can almost automatically identify it as fake followers.
It's
and
empty.
For what? Like, that's the lamest shit in the world.
And the pressure, you think about it, you can't post and just like let it be. You have to literally post and then be on it. Like, the, you know, how many likes do I have to buy? How many comments? Da, da, da. It's like, for every post, you're keeping this economy, this bot economy, fueled, because you have to continue to buy it every fucking time. And that's crazy to me. Like, I feel like that alone would burn me out.
That's but why you that little boy was tearing his ass up. Where was that little boy at that was that he was arguing with? Remember, he thought the little boy was selling them fake bots, but the little boy was gooping his ass every time. It was like a 13-year-old little boy. That's why they tearing your ass up like that, because you shouldn't have been over there in the first damn place. I don't like it. I don't listen. I love them as people, but I don't agree with the bots' lifestyle.
This was showing me, like, because of all the talk of the bots, I was sitting there thinking, like, what the fuck and why? But this was showing me, especially when they kind of, towards the end, were saying that this industry helps, or it's not regulated because it does nothing but help Instagram and Twitter.
Right. So my mind, everybody eats.
So in my mind, I was wondering to myself, at what point when creating this social media, or I guess when the social media, you know, site hit, because, you know, let's say you build an app and, you know, you're going to put ads on it and get your Google AdSense dollars, but then it gets high engagement and you just get, you know, money for traffic, whatever. At what point did they realize that, like, whether it be Instagram or Twitter, that this fake follower shit is going to be like lucrative? Because in my mind, I'm like, was there an exec somewhere there that started selling this shit on the low? And then from there, like, niggas figured out the code. And then from there, Twitter was like, well, everyone's going to be on the website anyway, so keep it going. Like, I wondered how this trickled down and who was able to recognize it and say, I'm going to keep capitalizing, you know, in whatever role they decide to stay in, whether it be bot maker or exec that decides that they're not going to do anything against the bot makers because it keeps all the niggas on their site, even though they're bots. Like, I just could not stop wrapping my head around all of those things when they got towards the end of the movie. I was like, this is crazy. There are a lot of...
And that was eye-opening. Bot economy conversation that you're bringing up, because they were saying, for those who may not have caught it, you know, the reason that Instagram and Twitter and all the social media platforms we use don't necessarily clear out all of these bots and essentially expose everyone, because sometimes they do, but it's like here and there, and it'll they'll clear out, like, you know, a couple thousand, whatever. But it's because it does soup up the numbers to make it seem like these platforms have a lot more people than they actually do. So that's how the platforms are eating, when they have to do those decks and presentations to get more money from investors. Like, this is actually very helpful to them. And then, of course, the actual companies creating the bots get to eat, because they said they make up to $20 million a year doing this. That's crazy. Imagine that little 13-year-old kid that was gooping him, hey, being a multimillionaire off of creating bots, because he's probably just a smart as hell ass kid who understands the tech and created an app. It's probably not even an app that has to be all fancy schmancy. Just pay your money, you get 10,000 followers, and that's as much as the app does. You and know they're it's caking not. Out here. Right.
You know, it's not only because it was crazy when they said,
they don't need a spruced up interface.
Right. It was crazy when they said they went to the, you know, verification site and it was verifying their fake ass bots. And so I was like, well, damn, are the fake bot makers the niggas that made the verification sites? Like, right. Like, I was so pissed.
Oh,
I was
like, when he said that, he was like, either I'm good as hell, like, buying bots, right, or this software is a scam too. I'm like, everything is a scam.
And in the process, read that girl down to the ground. Like, I guess she can't have no real engagement, you know what I'm saying? They're like, bitch, you ain't got it. Like, whatever the effect is, you ain't got it. So without our help, you know, we know this got to be a damn lie. That's what.
And that was crazy, because she ended up in the 1%, right? Like, of famous people. When you think about that, you're like, whoa. And let me tell you, these numbers fucking matter. Like, I've mentioned before, I won't say the brand for legal reasons, but y'all can do the math. There was a brand that I traveled with and worked with, and they paid me $10,000, okay, to post. So at the time, I think I had maybe, let's say, I'm just going to throw it out there, 140,000 followers on Instagram. A young lady who was on the campaign with me had 400,000 followers. She got paid $30,000 for this campaign. When she put up her image, 4,000 likes. When I put up my image, 20,000 likes. But you see how that gap between the money I made, and they didn't even offer me. They literally said, this is the top of our budget. So the fact that she got 30, either she asked for it straight out, or they offered it to her straight out, because she had 400,000. So yes, it's extremely lucrative to have a higher follower count regardless, because she only had like 10 comments. I had 1,000 comments, 20,000 likes, and made $20,000 less than the young lady.
That happens to me all the time, friend, all the time. When I do that kind of work. And I would much rather, I just want the right side of both parts of that conversation. I want the big bag and I want my engagement to reflect it. Right. And that's why I can command that sort of price.
Exactly.
Because that would be so embarrassing to me to have such a large follower. I don't even care about that shit anyway. I'm grateful for the follower, for the audience.
Oh, 1,000%, because they're real. So they're real people that are growing with you with every chapter of your brand.
And it's just something that happened because of me being consistent, you know, and it's happening, I should say, because of me being consistent with the work. And that's the part I'm most proud of. Mm-hmm. So I don't give a fuck about having a whole bunch of numbers and shit. That engagement and that the proof is in the pudding. And like you said, when you compare the way that your post performed to the way that hers did, that would be so embarrassing to me if I were in her shoes.
Right.
Like, and to have to show that, because you have to, you know, give that data over to the metrics. Yeah, you have exactly. to give that over. And that would be so embarrassing. And I would feel ashamed. I would feel bad for, you know, fleecing them like that.
We feel bad. Yeah. Most of those influencers don't have to feel bad, because that's just the bag they're going to get regardless. So I highly doubt she felt bad. You know, she's just used to this. Like, she's the Dominique. She's just thriving and out here moving. Like, everything is just broop, broop, right, given to you. And then we are the ones that are busting our butts, you know. But I do agree that it's I've always felt that brands had that fucked up. I think it should be mm-hmm. based on engagement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if I put out an ad for your product, why are you paying someone more because they have a higher follower count if I'm the one that's making people have a relationship with your brand because they trust me? Because I don't hawk a product every week. I'm not selling you, you know, one day I'm selling you one brand of toothpaste and somehow next month it's another one, but I love them both and I've been using both. Like, you know, it's like, what? Like, I'm very particular about what I choose, because no one's ever been able to, and I'm saying this on the record, no one has ever given me a product that I've taken a check for that I did not use. Either I got the check because I was already using it and it was a perfect alignment, like, oh sweet, I already used this, now I'm gonna get a check for it, perfect. Or it's something they sent me and I would tell people, I'm gonna need some time with it, because you can't pay me to sell or hawk products to my community. I have to make sure it works. I have to make sure it does what it says, because that's how I build a relationship with my base. I don't sell. I'm not an infomercial. I sell usefulness. Mm-hmm. I sell resource. And that's why people listen to me. That's why they trust me. That's why 12 years of doing this, people joke and say, I can't listen to when Fran mentions a damn product because I'm going to buy it. Of course you're going to buy it, because you know I'm not lying to you.
That's what it is. There's a trust that's been built. That gives you the integrity.
That bots that you can't buy.
Have to have. Yeah. You have to have that integrity to participate in any sort of partnership like that. And that's admirable to me.
And it should be.
Well, yeah, I think so too. And it gets tricky in the negotiating space, because people often try to act like they're challenged at quantifying that. Like, how do you place a value on that ability to engage, right? But to me, a simple comparative analysis, you know, on campaigns where I have been, you know, in company with, you know, larger influencers and shit, and my posts will outperform theirs every single time. People will literally go to the brand, go visit the brand, let them know. And I love that. I'm so thankful and grateful for that. So grateful for that. So it gets tricky, but, you know, I agree with
you. If you could have 100 real followers or 100,000 fake followers,
I'll take the real ones. But he's right, though. Like,
it was something weird about that nigga, though. I ain't even gonna lie. I can't gonna be fake and sit here and say he wasn't. I don't know.
He felt a little righteous too. You know, like it felt a little righteous. But entitled. You know, but I get it. I get. He was just like, I don't want to do this.
You the one that's off talking about one off. It's you.
I'm not gonna lie. Some of them clothes was kind of cute.
Yeah.
But my thing is, well, the part that confused me is like, so you so righteous. Why did you want to be a part of this? I don't understand.
Thank you.
That.
I wasn't like, going to say it because I wasn't, didn't want to just drag them all the way down.
No, but it's true.
That's literally telling what you, I was like, thinking.
That's the part that there was like a dissonance. It's like it's like me. That's like me going on a reality show about wanting to be famous just to shit on it the whole time. Like, obviously, right. I wouldn't even be here. This wouldn't even
like,
be
like he wanted
my,
to go
on
the real world, not fake famous. Wrong casting, bro. I'm so sorry. Wrong casting.
Now, the only part that I will say annoyed me was when they had the experts. First of all, shout out to Sham Booty.
Hey!
Yes. Sham Booty!
It was
with
very
her beautiful
cool.
baby, by the way.
Right? But there were so many people on here that were shitting on the influencer culture. And though the influencer culture does have a lot, I sound like, gotcha, like Cardi B's mother. Gotcha. although there, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement, which is in any field, really.
Right.
What I will say is they were acting like we are talentless, unemployed, you know, just a lot of strange words were being thrown at it. Anybody can do it. It's just a numbers thing. And I was like, okay, first of all,
so jealous.
No.
So jealous.
First of all, it's so much work. Like, do y'all understand that the commercial that I have with Noah took 10 hours for 30 second spot? Yep. We had a 7-year-old. You know what I mean?
Not to mention the production, Fran. Not to mention you getting shot lists together and getting
the shot list,
equipment list.
Right now, it's at the editor. Who has to spend God knows how many hours sifting through 100+ files just to create a story on the timeline. Like, it's so many moving parts. It's a lot of work. And so I felt like that part was a little insulting. Granted, yes, there are some people who are mediocre and throw up whatever and make a bag and that's how they treat it. But I mean, is that not visible in the government? Is that not visible in music? In any field, there's always going to be the mediocre who prosper. And then there's going to be people like us who really take this career to heart. Like, I didn't come into this wanting to be famous. This started off of me having a fucking illness that I was sharing and documenting. Yeah, I didn't come into this like, oh, I would love to be an influencer. There was no such thing at the time. And no. Even me coming in a little earlier than it being like a role, there are people who have come into this with integrity-based goals, you know what I mean? Of actually, like, that you can tell. And I feel like, where was that conversation? Like, well, how do you miss out on the people who are really doing beautiful-ass shit for their communities, have changed their own lives because they're here to serve? Like, not everyone is a self-serving influencer. So that part was like, if you're going to say the self-serving part, that's fine. But there needs to be balance. You know, like, you need to show all the perspectives, all the stories, all the different ways that people are utilizing these opportunities and platforms and the bags that they're getting. A lot of bags that I get, I barely see as much as I can from the bag because I'm too busy spreading it out to my community, to my family. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where's that conversation? This ain't about me getting shoes.
No, right, friend.
One thing I have to keep in mind, like, just for myself, because everything you're saying, like, a lot of those thoughts did go through my head, but a lot of that I had to kill earlier on because, you know, they started off to talk about all these different industries, right? They were like, you know, there's the health, excuse me, smoking. There's like the health and fitness industries, the tech industries. They were talking about how there are these different industries, but instead of taking, I don't know, like, to your earlier point, I really would have loved to see, like, a big woman, an Asian man, like people that we just don't see a lot of, like we don't see stories of, and then put them in these industries and make them fake famous somehow. Like, I didn't really care for how they, you know, said that they were going to take these three. Then they did this fake top model makeover. And then they got, you know, the two white folks at the house taking pictures, the nigga at the fake gym. And then like nobody really wanted it. And it's not to say that they should have picked people that wanted it, because in my mind I had to remember in the beginning, I was like, okay, this is this guy from CNN who's just taking this bland look at social media. I would have loved if he would have partnered with, you know, I just always shout her out, Soledad O'Brien, who be taking like a real look at shit, because towards the end, you know, he starts to talk about, or they start to wrap up how social media can really affect your, you know, your mental and, you know, how you feel about yourself. But I would have just loved to see a broader conversation, because a lot of these conversations I feel like, you know, even his damn self probably had on CNN already. So this was kind of for what? And maybe he just rushed it out since COVID killed his ongoing experiment. Go ahead,
Dustin. And I want to be clear on why I'm requesting a deeper dive into the real challenges in the influencer world, right? It's not because I feel like this documentary had to be about Black people or people of color. Yeah. It's not because of any of that. The whole premise of this piece was to show the process of creating and building an influencer. And I feel like they really took the easy way out.
Right.
And I feel like it could have been so much more impactful if they had picked candidates who posed a little bit more of a challenge to bring to market.
Because that's the story.
That's the story that I feel like they were trying to tell in the first damn place. And I feel like that's the way to tell it. So I just want to be clear on that when I say, you know, earlier when I said it even, that is what my takeaway was from this.
Right.
That's why, because I feel like that is the true story that they were trying to tell or show the process. I just feel like it would have so much more brilliantly shown what they were trying to do in the first place. That's all.
Right. Mm. And for me, like, another missing piece was like, this is a redistribution of wealth for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I have not seen money like this. and you know, not to knock myself, because I'm someone that's unlimited and full of potential, but
yes, you are.
I don't know what my life outside of this space would have been. You know, I could have very well have continued in music, whatever the case.
Started selling drugs.
Right, been on the block. I don't know. But the truth is, you know, seeing bags like this, and we've talked about this before, I had to spend so much of my early career catching mm-hmm. up, playing catch up to just be on a fucking even space with a lot of regular humans. You know, like when you're poor, and we've talked about this, you got to fix your teeth because of years of poor dental. You know, like changing your diet is a mental health challenge because you're like re-engineering shit because you were just eating what was available as opposed to eating what your body actually needs. I mean, there's so many levels to that shit. So that's why I'm saying, like, hearing them speak of this in such a vapid way was like, ew, like, y'all are vapid if that's the only mm-hmm. thing you have to pull from this. Why didn't y'all pull those of us who have like restructured whole communities, mm-hmm. brought mental health conversations to the internet and made them funny and cool and relatable, and bringing in resources like a Dr. Joy for free on platform. Like, let's talk
all
about
the
that.
While showing up authentically as ourselves
all the while
in spaces, and then being thus burdened with the responsibility to prove ourselves 10 times more than right. we normally would have, because I show up as Dustin.
Right.
I then have to legitimize that with a skill set or, you know, some knowledge, you know, beyond what is the normal expectation. So right. it's a lot of moving parts to this thing here. And you're not finna make it seem like I just want to be fake famous, because
yeah.
I don't. And that's just how I felt. Wiley.
And let's talk about all the bags you've lost because you're just being Dustin.
Right.
You know, because it's a game that can be played, but do you want to play it? Like, that's another spinoff conversation. What happens to those of us who don't play it, but are still a part of it? Because the Matrix, you can be in it, but you can also be in it in a conscious way where all your decisions are calculated and coming from the heart as opposed to from the bag. You know
sidebar,
what I mean?
I would have loved to have been in the Matrix. Can't you see me in that coat, that trench coat and them glasses and shit? them tight in the top ass black clothes. You see, everything was tight
not
in the top.
Tight in the top.
All the clothes was black and tight in the top. That's my aesthetic. I could have really tore up the Matrix.
One thing about Chris, though, I did appreciate. I just appreciate because he wasn't part of. He's not good for this experiment, but I feel like he kind of wanted a different experience, kind of how I wanted a different experience. I just knew that he wasn't in that, which is because of who they picked with between Wiley and Dominique. So it was kind of hard watching him in that space. But when he did say the thing about Dominique being clay and him being stone, I was like, okay, I see this. Like, this is a good comparison. And I felt like old boy should have, like, really drove it together by saying, okay, you know, you are the stone. And our purpose, you know, the idea here is that, you know, we chisel you down and make you into whatever we want, you know. But they couldn't get there because I feel like maybe...
Because of Chris.
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily Chris's fault, too. I mean, or just Chris's fault.
In a minute.
I don't know if it was just Chris's fault because of how I'm saying, like, I kind of wanted a different experience. And, like, maybe that's what Chris, he wasn't understanding up front that it was, like, a fake famous experience. He just heard famous and was like, cool, you know, I've been running this scene out in Arizona for however long. I've hit my ceiling here, so now I got to come out to L.A. and make something happen. And then you take Dominique, who works at Lululemon, that would be like, sure, it'd be cute to be famous. And Wiley, who is fake from Atlanta, that's like, you know, everybody else wants it, so why not? I think that's why I look at Chris a little bit differently in that light, because his ass, because when he first said it, I was like, well, you should have stayed, you know, where you was since it was so popping and really just made it a hub. Because a lot of us are in these big cities looking for certain hubs to go to like really rock that shit. So
go on and say it then. Say it, Asante. Say it. Chris think he know every goddamn thing. And if you know much, stay your ass where you was at. Chris is the type of person that would drive you to say this to them. Okay, well, what you want to do then? What do you want to do? That's why I feel like no matter what they threw at this motherfucker, everything he tells you about his life, his background, with the utmost confidence in the choices he made. So I knew I had to get the fuck out of there because that's why I came here. And when I got here, this is how it works. So I know I don't want to do it. Well, why am I here this morning?
You remember what he said
earlier?
That's
what I would have asked him eventually. Like, what am I doing here since you got all the answers?
That's why that white man was like, well, I really don't literally, know, you know where that leads us.
Yeah, the guy was like, you're literally here for me to mold you. Like, then what the fuck are you doing here if you're made out of stone?
In the beginning, I knew he was trouble. I knew Chris was trouble because when they first asked him, they were like, why do you think you should be famous? He was like, oh, at this point, I know I deserve to be. I was like, what?
Impossible. Like,
from that point, I knew there was going to be issues. But after having this conversation, that's why I'm kind of like, I see why he was misplaced, because I think about him feeling like he was lit in his own city, and then you come here and then you become fake famous as opposed to trying to be real famous. But then they made me wonder, like, can the nigga read? Because this is a fake famous thing.
I didn't even like the way he was holding his head, getting his hair braided in that chair. I felt like it was a little arrogant. I didn't like the way he was holding his head. Go back and watch it.
I'm going to tell you. And low-key, I was mad we was on the same page, because I was like, so he's just getting his hair braided, which is nice because, you know, they look nice.
It didn't even look no different. He just got it done.
And then later on, he says, like, you know, y'all give Dominique a haircut. You know, y'all redo my braids. And I was like, they literally just redid them. Like, you know, you were probably going to be in that chair on Friday anyway.
He probably objected to any changes. They probably was going to give him a Boosie fade. But he probably was like, no, you're not cutting my hair. I'm telling you, he was very much a wedge in the progression of everything. He just was not having it, and I like that. I get it, you know what I'm saying. But he will make you ask. Well, what you want to do? He'll make you ask him that shit. You know,
I get it too. But it's also like, okay, so then, like you said, what are we doing?
He missed
why
the fake
are you
part.
Here?
Yeah, he, ho, why is you here?
What Jocelyn say, bitch? Why is you here? Oh, why is he here?
He totally missed the fake part. He just heard fame. He thought, you know, HBO, and he just missed the fake part. And it was like, well, bro, this is why you can't be real famous.
He totally missed it.
You'd be caught up in a fucked up contract or something. How did you miss? It's about fake.
And
like,
then,
it's an experiment.
This a one episode thing. So like, he didn't come off as a person that I want to know more about and like go get more information about. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, I was glad I was done with him at the end of the thing. so like this a one, you know, and this is a one episode thing, so coming off likable is important in situations
so
like this. You know, you don't have episode two to, you know, resell it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad I am done with him and Wiley and her too. I was glad it was over. I put it
all
to you
of
like
it
that.
Honestly, like, none of them left me with anything to make me want to even go look at their social media or wonder what happened or like any of it.
I definitely followed up. I checked, and funny enough, Chris's social media has grown, and I saw people leaving comments like, "You was the realest," like, "Yo, you was my favorite."
That's yeah.
So he
that's
getting his 100 real,
and he was like, "Yo, you know, I had that's to like good. Keep it that's real good. For the folks," and da da. And he was going back and forth in the comments. So,
oh my god.
Sadly, it's fucked up that he was the one to break, because like him working out in the gym and stuff, like, why not? Like, the other nigga was posing out in front of a pool lying about where he was. And granted, he was lying about his gym. Like, he could have easily just, because old girl even randomly got a gym thing after that. Like, Chris easily could have just got something from that. But he just was too focused on reading those comments, which, you know, if you do, if you are on and Instagram.
Reading that host, that's who he was reading.
Uh-oh. Like...
he too was happy to, you know what, happy to be done with him. Okay,
I know that host was like, man, get the fuck out, I ain't got time for this shit,
see ya.
That host was like, one off for real. Wow.
And you know, I did, and I'm glad you said that Asante had triggered a different thought too, just on the business side of it. When they were saying, like, you know, they'll go to fake gyms in hopes of getting a real gym, and they'll do this and they'll do that. And there is an element of truth to that. Not so much in, like, going to a fake gym that's, like, a wall or some shit. But I'm going to use Jade as an example for the proper way to use that business model. So Jade, mm-hmm. because I think she's perfect because she's, like, still building her brands, we're watching it happen in real time. So she was like, we had a convo, a business mm-hmm. convo, and she said, you know, she would love more alignment with cooking shows and opportunities. And I was like, well, when I go to your Instagram, there's nothing about your Instagram that would make me, if I were like in, you know, what's the food channel, I would go right past your page because there's nothing on there. So she's like, so how do we freak that? I'm like, mm-hmm. we have to put content that aligns with the content you're looking to call in. What did we do? We created her cooking, her cocktails in La Casa for the bartending, because that shows her range and skill set. And then the cooking show for her Patreon. So now she has content. When you go to her page, if I were the food channel or whatever other food alignments would be her dream, now she has it. So you know what happens? Now she's getting all these campaigns from liquor sponsors, restaurants, boom. So it's like there is a game you do have to play of, because I want that, I have to create this. But I think that's where there was missing in the doc. They just went to a fake gym in hopes of getting... It's like, no, some of us are actually doing this with integrity.
I'm proud of Jay.
Jay's been busting her ass.
She got that
ass.
Baby food yes. campaign. You see that baby food campaign she got where the babies is shitting all the food out in the commercial. You ain't seen it where she made that baby food and babies were shitting all over the damn United States. You ain't seen that.
You are.
You know what?
But you know, she's been putting in the work. Like,
she
has, been working though.
Hard. I'm so proud
on
of
those.
Her.
You think about it. She got 2 podcasts. 2 shows on top of being a wife, on top of being a mom, like, and this is like outside of the other work that she has to do with catering,
dinner series
with Santana. So it's like, think about the toll this is taking on Jade, even just building up this mm-hmm. brand. So when I see this things like that happening, and me thinking of the hours mm-hmm. and you know, that I put in to mm-hmm. be where I'm at today, that's why a doc like this feels empty.
I completely understand. And something just to, I don't know if you're closing up this conversation, but just
no,
to,
whatever
to end on a
add.
Higher note, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Look at Jade, though. Look at what has happened for her. Look at Man. The look at the partnerships that she's been able to materialize.
And Noah.
Look at Noah. Jade has been profiled in Food and Wine fucking magazine. You know what I'm
Bro,
saying?
Like, crazy.
Literally the top of her game, the brand alignment that she has and her sponsorships, it's just incredible to see. And it just shows you that if you put that sort of focus on what you want to do, and if you have that sort of intention, it can happen for you. Eat to mama,
and especially when it's coming from the heart, because mm-hmm. Jade isn't coming into this like, oh, I want to be famous. No. She's like, I love to cook. it's, you know, I love making cocktails.
Yeah.
And if I can create a career where I do what I love and make money and take care of my family, what, I mean,
that's
like,
that's the goal.
What more could you ask for?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
In perfect alignment with her values, mm-hmm. her morals, and her interests. And that has made this trajectory feel so good to her, where I've seen her be like, holy shit. And it hits different when it's coming from the heart, yeah. and not because you have something to prove or I'm you're so expecting proud of her. Some validation like that. It's, I'm telling you, it's less anxiety. Every win feels so good. Mm-hmm. Every loss is just like, okay, I'm gonna eat that. Like, it's just different. And so
I
wanted to bring
your pants don't be all twisted in your ass crack.
I wanted to make sure to bring that perspective, because yes, there's a lot that can stand to be fixed, but there's also a lot of really beautiful shit that happens in this industry as well. And I want to make sure to have a more balanced perspective of the multi-billion dollar influencer industry.
The Friend Zone has something to say. Flat out. Remember when Andre 3000 said that shit at the Source Awards? The South got something to say. Shit, the Friend Zone has something to say too.
Okay.
I
wanted to see more of the damn influencer buzz, because I just kept watching, thinking how I wouldn't have been on there.
Oh my
but
God,
I wanted to see
that
more of that
scene with the girl. You mean the girls going to the desert? That was so fucking awkward.
I talk to people when I'm in those situations. I talk. I get it lit in the space. Like, I'm not. I don't just be sitting there. You know what
they
I mean?
Was on
not
a party bus. Everybody.
A whole party bus to the desert, and the fact they had to change like on the side of the mm-hmm. road, I was like, ooh, what the fuck is this? That was nuts. But it was still, at the end of the day, it was a good watch. It was, yeah. it triggered this type of conversation.
Was that the man from To Catch a Predator that hosted? Was that the same man?
No.
Or What Would You Do? Remember the other show, What Would You Do, when they were having
oh my God,
scenario?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or
ABC yeah.
or some
the,
shit.
What's his
I remember,
name? John Quiñones. Is that his name? Is that his name?
Who literally looks nothing like
I love
Nick
him,
Bilton.
Though. I got those vibes.
Thank you guys so much for the conversation. This was an awesome hot button.
For all of you out there listening, whenever you're done listening to this podcast and you're looking for something else to listen, there's going to be Built to Last. Built to Last is a podcast by American Express that highlights the stories, history, and continued legacy of Black-owned small businesses that shape American culture. In honor of Black History Month, American Express is continuing to shine a light on these Black-owned businesses with the release of a special episode highlighting Rose Nakod, the first known coffee vendor in New Orleans in the 1800s, and Sip and Sonder, a community and well-being-focused coffee shop in Inglewood, California. If you haven't already, check out the debut season of Built to Last and hear host Elaine Welteroth explore how the Black business leaders of our past have inspired today's Black-owned small businesses. The season features small business owners like Pinky Cole of Atlanta's Food Truck Turn Restaurant.
Woo!
Slutty
Pinky!
My homegirl, our homegirl, And then also Anifa Muimba, a cutting edge designer, and so many other amazing small business owners. Plus, there's still a special check-in with modern day Renaissance woman, Issa Rae. As Built to Last uncovers and celebrates past and present stories of Black entrepreneurship in America, we hope to encourage all our listeners to support these businesses and also the Black-owned businesses in your community. Check out the debut season of Built to Last on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use, and there are no shady extras. Ritual's delayed-release capsule design delivers high-quality nutrients, including vitamin D3, in just 2 daily pills. You'll always know what nutrients you're taking and where they come from, thanks to Ritual's one-of-a-kind visible supply chain. Now available for women, men, and teens, Ritual multivitamins are scientifically developed to help support different life stages. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping. Start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. If you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. I chose to take Ritual because I've been trying to take control of my health. It's been going on for about a month now. I'm doing great. I feel like I'm looking better than I've looked. My skin's evening out. I don't have that gray, ashen undertone anymore because my vitamins are being replenished, okay? And it is now a daily ritual! All right. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/friendzone to start your ritual today.
Anything you want to add before we transition to the wellness segment?
Not for me. No. Bring in the motherfucking wind chimes.
Bring in the motherfucking wind chimes. So I'm going to make this quick because I have spoken enough. So I have a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. When you are feeling overwhelmed or anxious, what's your go-to? You're at home. What's your go-to? Like, what are your needs to help you bring your heart rate down and lower your stress levels?
Masturbation.
Okay, I get that. That's a good one.
I just have to breathe. I was thinking, like, masturbation is going to make me too lit. So just breathing. Like, sometimes I literally...
Too lit. So you'll be stressed and just hyped?
Not stressed. But it's like the after effect might be a nap. So it's like, I don't want to take that risk. But I do definitely like to... like, if I need to just relax quickly, I just need a moment to myself. So I literally either sit and close my eyes or I'll make it dark somewhere. And I just need to stop and breathe. And like, literally like Toni Braxton, breathe. Like, I just got to breathe.
I'm so with you on the making it dark. I don't know.
It's nothing like turn off a light.
It's
right quick.
Nothing.
I like it with the lights on.
Even that. Just
because the other day, even, you know, once this month started wrapping, there was a moment where I like had to catch my breath and I literally just sat in the living room and turned off all the lights. Mm. And I had to laugh because I was like, I look bonkers right now. If anybody were to walk in, you just sitting on the couch in the dark.
That'd be the
quiet.
Best moment when you like be still like, as fuck, right? And then you just have that thought like, what if somebody like broke in or something right now? And then they'd be like, oh shit! Like,
and you just sitting there,
you just still as fuck, and it's like it's dark. Like, I'm the only person here. Why am I doing this?
I knew you was coming, ho.
You have to laugh at yourself sometimes, but I think it's important to note what those go-to things are, especially at a time like this where our stress levels are high. I talked about it, I think it was last week during the Pomodoro technique conversation, where I was talking about, okay, Dustin. Can I tell them what you just showed the class?
The real Pomodoro technique.
He showed us his
the real
his
Pomodoro
kit.
Technique.
His bliss kit.
Cause you don't know abrasions.
You know what?
Is this all right next to your bed, Dustin? I like
it's squinchles.
But I think it's important to create those almost like a kit, like Dustin just showed us. That's next to his bed that you can get to very quickly when you need it. Because I think most people are either unaware of what their processes are, or they just don't create a way to access it with ease. So I was thinking of this because as I sat in the dark on my couch, you know, trying to catch my breath and lower my heart rate, I realized I have this process that's a little bit strange, but it works for me. And I was like, you know what? Same. I'm going to show...
Go ahead.
And I wondered if y'all have anything like that. So, and I feel like I mentioned this maybe years ago on the podcast. So when I'm like super overwhelmed, I create this little nook in my bed from the pillows. Like I literally organize the pillows in the center of the bed in like a small square that my body can kind of sink into.
Plush.
And it's almost like it's I guess it's the similar effect that like a weighted blanket would have, where it's like a safety thing. You know, the weighted blanket, the reason those work is because it makes you feel like a hug. Like it mimics a hug, and hugs usually trigger your nervous system and begin to enable the rest mode of your nervous system, right? There's fight or flight, which we talked about last week. And now we're thinking of what are ways to trigger rest mode where your body's like, I am now resting. I feel at ease. That's what a hug does. You ever hug someone and it's like your breath, you're just like, oh, I needed that. So the nook that I created it has the same effect. It's like my safety corner, and I sit in it. I notice I always have to have a hoodie wrapped over my head, and it kind of mimics like a baby being swaddled. Mm. You know when babies, they wrap them like tight, a little like, burrito? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what I realize is that's kind of... I realize that's what I'm recreating, that safety nook and then the swaddle via my hoodie, and then I wrap myself in a blanket, even putting a pillow on my belly, that very subtle weight on my belly. Because, you know, I feel like I hold most of my stress in my stomach, and there's something about that pillow. I tend to get either like the body pillow or like the king size pillow, something that's a little bit, you know, girthy mm-hmm. and oversized. Put it on you, gotcha. And it like you're like noted.
Girth Brooks over here.
You are just. But the hoodie,
I ain't got pillows. That though. I'm cut. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead. Well, I ain't playing, but you know, this is a joke. God. Go ahead.
You know what makes me laugh? My mom be like, "Dustin is so fresh." Oh my! I
be forgetting. I'm so sorry, mama friend.
No. She loves it. She'd be like, Dustin is so fresh. He always saying fresh things. She called you fresh, bro. No, but there's something about the four pillows. So mm-hmm. the way I put them is, you know, two pillows on my side, the one behind my neck, and one that goes under my legs. And then the pillow on my belly. Look at Dustin like, creating this. But you see how that creates a little nook that you kind of sink mm-hmm. into? It's so nice. Right, exactly. Dustin is literally recreating this as we speak.
Nice.
And that's what brings me my heart rate down. And also, I really wish y'all could see. He is recording with these pillows. Do you feel the difference, Dustin, on your belly?
Oh my God, it feels so good. Oh my God.
So that's my number one go-to. Fran is overwhelmed. She's going to make her four-pillow nook and wrap herself in the hoodie.
Nook and Franny. And every nook and Franny. Franny. That's the episode, Nook and Franny. Every nook and Franny.
I can't with y'all. The second thing is sitting in silence in the dark. That's right. You gotta
shut the fuck up sometimes.
Yo, you gotta shut the fuck up. Sometimes I just don't wanna hear nothing. Mm. I don't wanna hear myself. I don't hear nobody's voice. No podcast, no music.
Nothing.
No lights. And then the third one for me is a bath. Are y'all bath people? Getting in a hot bath with some Epsom salt or, you know, and some essential oils, or not essential oils, because you got to consider the pH of your vagina, but some weed rolled up.
Hell yeah, I love that.
But oil mixtures that are healthy for the body, like that, and some candles with like a really nice playlist, and just laying back, and I put flower or herbs in the bath with me just for the added benefits. A lot of them are like, you know, relaxing herbs.
You know, friend.
Uh-huh.
I just want to request, if not for this wellness, an addendum for a future wellness segment. How about some bath oils? You know, bath time. Because what you mentioned there for the women's and the pH, that's very, very important. But, you know, for the men's that want to take this bath as well, you know.
So you mean like sharing some brands?
Some brands, some
for bath time.
Maybe even some mixtures that you like. Yeah, some.
Well, you know what? I'll share my site. That's my go-to for the herbs and different. It's mountainroseherbs.com. That site is a black hole. So good. It is just. Do you see it, Asante? Because he's pulling it up. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You see, they have a whole bath section, okay? And that's where I get my goods. It's like a farm to bath company, so everything is ethically sourced.
Well, and they do
it's
everything, a
wonderful
too.
Site. Everything. You can literally buy anything on there that has to do with energetic wellness. So it's my go-to. Definitely check that out, Mountain Rose Herbs. But I do agree that that would be a nice wellness segment, so I'll definitely curate that. But I just wanted to put that out there because it's a really simple conversation, but I think people don't share enough what their processes are when they're not feeling the best. Like, what are their go-tos, whether it's a playlist, whether it's something specific you eat. You know what's funny? When I was younger, Claude would always know when I was sad because I used to eat Doritos. And that, for some reason, that calmed me. It was very strange. Doritos and ranch sunflower seeds.
Yes,
my life has changed.
The taste jumped out.
The taste jumped out. I would have those in my hand, and Claude, knowing me so well, would look at me and be like, what's wrong? Okay?
Yep.
Because he knew that that was my comfort when shit was just not feeling good.
Yep.
And I feel like we all have those things in different ways, and it's good to take note of them so that you can actually recreate them, and that'll be your process when your mental health starts feeling like it's wavering a bit. So it could be something simple, a candle scent that you love. Just make sure you have it, you know, more of it when you need it. I know some people have texture things where there's like a blanket or a sweater, something that they like rubbing and touching. Dustin is just over.
I didn't even say anything. I didn't even utter. I didn't utter a word. I didn't utter a word. Something you like touching and rubbing.
I wanted to put that out there so that you can start cultivating this bliss kit. What is your kit that will bring you to a calmer heart rate, that will lower your cortisol levels that we talked about last week, that everyone's is extremely high because we have been in crisis, in fight or flight, for over a year.
Yep.
And it's time that we start working on our nervous systems. It's time that we start focusing on these stress levels and putting systems into place to get our heart rate where it needs to be so we can be at ease, productive.
Can y'all hear that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't and have grinded
Dustin,
nothing up.
And Dustin is actually demonstrating. This is a show and tell moment of what his process is.
Woo.
Y'all hear that? But that's it for this week's Hot Button. And that's it for this week's wellness segment. I wish you all health.
Now on to our ASMR segment.
Yes.
And Asante, Mr. Music Man, what you got for us this week?
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, Fran, for that very lit wellness segment. Because I
thank you.
I am all up and through this website.
Oh, I told you, it's a black hole. You're gonna buy so much shit you didn't even know you needed.
Like when I tell you, they sell everything.
Love a black hole. Love a black hole.
And
black hole sun.
Now literally. Back to the love music a black hole segment. Sun.
Won't you come? Oh! Black hole
and wash
sun.
Away the rain.
Woo!
Okay,
the tide, high tide. It's the best kind, actually.
So, on to our music segment.
Love a black hole.
Dustin's so fresh.
Come on, man. Come on,
I can't. Hole. You and your black hole.
Okay, we're done.
Dustin previously shouted out at the top of one of our shows, I believe, the artist Aaliyah Sheffield, the one that did Earth is Ghetto. I just wanted to quickly shout her out because she is a songwriter, a singer. She makes music. It's all on her YouTube. It's really, really good. And I'm the type that I really just like to hear people sing sometimes. And that's what also on my YouTube feed, just random people singing. Her ass, well, the lyrics, I'm telling you, the girl just knows what to do. So if you're looking for something on YouTube that you want to check out, definitely check her out. This is just going to be like a little YouTube Amen Corner, and then I'm just going to get into your listens lately just to keep it kind of cute. So for a couple other things that I was watching that I want everybody else to point their attention to, if you're still on the YouTube, which you should be, Saucy Santana has put out another single.
Okay.
It's called It's a Vibe. There's a visual. It features Dream Doll and light-skinned Keisha. Santana and Keisha have worked together in the past. It's just cute to hear all three of them working together. It's literally a vibe. So shout out to Santana, the Doll, and Keisha. I have had my previous opinions about Dream Doll in the past, but what I will say is the young lady continues to rap. She continues to put out records. She continues to have looks. So go ahead for you, young lady. But Light Skin Keisha was my personal star of the show, which is why I'm shouting this out. So thanks for that, Santana, Keisha, and Dream. Also, in the realm of music videos, a really, really interesting, well, I have a few interesting music videos here. What I'm loving is, and what I've always loved are black women. I've always loved black women in music. I've loved, you know, the range, whether it be black women doing pop music, whether it's, you know, soulful, alternative, everything. I just love black women. I'm going to step into the R&B bag, but know that it's going to be all types of R&B. That's where we're going. Mahalia. She dropped her single Jealous featuring Rico Nasty. There is a really, really cute, it's a really dope, like clutch, like futuristic type, but just vibe type video. It's Jealous. Mahalia is doing her thing. She's back at you with, you know, just another a level of what she does. We know her to do R&B, you know, happy R&B, a little alternative R&B. This is, you know, real, you know, kind of hip-hoppy R&B. I'm liking that sound for her. So thanks, Mahalia, for still sounding like yourself, but also elevating. I always appreciate that from an artist. Speaking of artists keeping it real and elevating, Don Richard has dropped Bust It For Me.
Okay, Don.
I mean, just continues to give us music, continues to give us originality, flair, a visual just because she can, not because she has to. Like, very unapologetic and, you know, very always shout out to home. So I love Don Richard. She's always an artist I'm always going to shout out. Bust It For Me is the name of the track. It's BUSSIFAME. Don Richard. I mean, what more can I say? She just looks great, sounds great. I'm loving the new sound. I love when artists can like give you a new sound, but it still sounds like something that they would do. Like, it's not a new sound that sounds like something else is happening and they just want to say that they can do that too, which is cute and cool when it happens. But I love that she just, like, the definition of elevation. She just continues to do shit. So there was one more I wanted to shout out because I just love spending my time on the tube of you. Oh, this is going to be the last one I talk about. I actually should end this by playing some of the song, but I'm going to play some from YouTube. So let me pull that out as I play it. But Justine Skye, she's back. She dropped a single. It's called Intruded. It's the video is 6 minutes long, 6 minutes, 24 seconds, if you want to be exact. Justine Skye is someone who's always made music and sounded great. And I don't even know what happens, but for me, I've always enjoyed her records. And then I don't know if it's personal stuff that happens or if it's label stuff that happens, but something always happens. And I'm just like, well, damn, where's Justine Skye? Ladies and gentlemen, Justine Skye is right here. Okay. She's right here. It was great to hear Timbaland do something that, like, well, Timbaland always is Timbaland, right? He's always going to evolve. He's always going to do what Timbaland does by giving you something fresh and cool and dope and original. But it doesn't take away from who he is or his sound or where he is going to evolve. Sorry, I'm talking a lot because I'm actually really excited about these songs this week. And not to say I'm not excited in the past, but seeing Justine Skye in this visual and like how things like just continue to elevate from the visual itself to, you know, the sounds of the song, to the sounds on her voice. Everything was just working so hard and it was working for her. So I appreciate it all. But the song that she put out is called Intruded. I'm going to play a little bit of the beginning from the YouTube video because that song is not the original song or is not the Intruded song. So I don't know what the name of that song is going to be or if I got to wait for the whole project to come out, but it need to happen. So this is it. Justine Skye.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh. It's about time. It's about time. Justine.
There's a lot I could say. You deserve the payback.
So that's the first, you know, 40 seconds of the video. That's magic for me. And then it continues to evolve. So Justine Skye, and mind you, that didn't show anything about her voice. That was just, you know, the production to let you know where we finna go. So just imagine where her voice takes you. Like, oh my God. So Justine Skye, thank you so much. That's it for me over here at the Music Man segment. I want to just pass it over to you two. Fran, you know I always want to know what you listening to, girl. What you playing over there?
Fuck by Victoria Monet.
Yes. Yes.
That's how she ended up with that baby.
Okay. We get into it today. So this is how it goes.
Is your favorite color blue? Cause you something like my crib tonight. I think I want you to maybe meet me at my crib tonight. Might not be the one, but I'm definitely the prototype. Let's get down and get it on the floor, floor. Wanna be a friend you can keep.
Friend you can yes. keep. I mean, like, can keep.
Sing, friend.
She's so, ooh.
Friend who can sing, goddammit.
No, not even today because I have a terrible cough. But she is just, she's another one like Alex Isley to me where they just don't miss. Don't miss. Mm. It's like, how are y'all real people? How are y'all real people? Okay, so that's that one. And then we never talk about Sam Do. I feel like we don't talk about Sam Do enough. He's an incredible artist.
Yeah.
He actually, do y'all remember he had a song with Wale back in the day? It was like Love Hate.
Okay.
Or something like that. If y'all look it up, y'all remember. That's how I feel like Sam, that's where people saw him. But he has a song called Reincarnation. That is so dope, and this is how it goes.
I feel like I've seen the world. I still love the same girl over and over again. I still feel the same love. I still feel the same buzz over and over. And I'm just trying to find another you.
Trying to find another you, reincarnation.
You reached into the crates for that one.
Hello.
Damn, Sue. Like, I was so mad when I looked. I was like, oh my God. Because
he's dropping a new project. I actually feel like it might be this week, called Moonlit Fools. And it made me jump back into his discography. And I was like, man, he is just, he don't get enough attention for me. And then the last one, shout out to Sam Do.
Yeah, you about to make me go listen to that because I was so mad.
Please do.
I was like, we said the name. I'm like, I know this name. And then I went and looked. Yes, damn Sue.
And he's part of a band now. He's the lead in a band called Red Hearse.
Dope. Ooh, and a Red right? Hearse. That's
I like that name.
If I get out of here, I want a Red Hearse.
Inspired by Sam Do. Shout out. Last one is Lucky Day and Yeba. The song is called How Much Can a Heart Take? And this is how it goes.
You've been channeling energy, sending it to me. Bitches better than me. Ooh, 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 ooh
when feelings change like phases of the moon.
I just downloaded it.
Do you see these goosebumps?
Friend, I want to hear a cover, honestly. I mean, Ooh. That's not a takeaway from anything that Yev's had going on there. Woo!
How much can a heart
Come take? On, Dustin Ross. She killed that, first of all. And I'm going to guess Lucky wrote it, but I also don't know because Yeb is also a writer, so it could very well be her verse. But
like
those
777
are
to me, Lucky.
But they killed that. Shout out to Lucky Day, his whole project. I think it's called Table for Two. It's an EP, I believe. It's very, very good.
If the rest of the music sound like that, it's about to be three because I'm sitting down. That's the jam.
It's a very, very good album. I take. Ooh, yeah. Girl. Yeah, but and it's just something.
Wow.
And then she's talking about you just blaming shit on the moon. I was like, this is very relatable content.
She done been through some things.
She done been through some things with a woo-woo person. I've been there. So, shout out to Yeba, Lucky Day, Victoria Monet. And Sam Du.
Oh, yes. Du.
Told you.
Sam Sue.
And no. Sam Du. So, those are my three.
Du. What's it called? Sam Du.
Those are my three.
What about you, Dustin Ross? What you been listening
short
to?
And sweet. You know, I like to bang, get in, get out. So here we go. Modafinil Blues by Matthew Deere. Get into that, all right? That's the jam.
That was tight.
Okay. Modafinil Blues. Okay, next song is by Young Rog and Summer Walker. It's called Bullshit. My shit. Okay, so Bullshit by Summer Walker and Young Rod. And then, you know what? Mariah Carey got a remix of We Belong Together.
Yes.
That she performed. That's the jam, but I'm not going to play that. Well, actually, I'll play it. Fuck it. It'll be my third.
I haven't
answer.
Heard it.
I'll save the other shit for next week. This We Belong Together, Mimi's Late Night Valentine's mix.
I didn't mean it when I said I didn't love you so. Should've held on tight, I never should've let you go. I didn't know nothing, I was stupid, I was foolish, I was lying to myself. I couldn't have fathomed I would ever be without your love. Never imagined I'd be sitting here beside myself. Cause I didn't know you, cause I didn't know me, but I thought I knew everything.
in my life, baby. Ooh, baby.
So see, so that's why I knew you. I knew you was gonna be feeling that. So those are the three. Shout out to Cash Doll. She's got an amazing new feature on the song "Allowance" by Cash Kid too, or by Babyface Ray. Excuse me, Babyface Ray, "Allowance" featuring Cash Doll. Check that out too. That's it for me, you guys.
All right, well, that does it for the Music Man segment. That Mariah was
that hitting. Put me in a whole different place.
I'm trying to tell y'all, like, the jam.
Damn. And also, I'm happy to hear Mariah's voice so strong. Yeah, you know?
Sounding good. Do you hear
sounding
me?
Sounding good. She's a vet. Like, that's beautiful. She's been able to preserve it.
Hell yeah. Shout out to Mariah.
Woo. Shout out to you, Mariah Carey. You're a legend.
All right, well, Dustin Ross, it's all on you. Tell us what you've been watching over there at TV Land.
Okay.
Listen, we're just going to make this really brief.
No.
Yes, we are.
No,
The Real Housewives of Atlanta had a marquee banner episode for the franchise as a whole, all seasons, and they're in season 13, to be clear. So just know that the episode that played this Sunday, it was episode 10, I believe. I'm speechless. You just have to see the episode to have your own take on it. It was some of the best reality television I've ever seen in my
life. Friend, did you watch?
No.
You have to watch.
Really?
You have to watch.
Oh my God. Like,
but you will I understand? You have to watch.
Yes. Yes.
You have to watch.
You would understand.
I'm down.
You have to watch. You have. You have.
It was that good?
Friends.
Candy Burris through Cynthia Bailey. They were on a girls trip to the Isle of Palms in South Carolina. Which I love the fact that they're taking advantage of these American destinations, these domestic tourist destinations that they could access by vehicle, by car. So they drove to South Carolina. Well, the majority of them drove. Kenya flew in a private jet with her friend LaToya. But that's another story for another time. But so they went to this spot called the Isle of Palms in South Carolina. And while they were there, Candy Burris threw Cynthia Bailey a dungeon style surprise bachelorette party, complete with a performance from the male stripper Bolo.
Oh, Lord.
And so what made the episode so interesting was what took place after the cameras were cut off, but the audio was still rolling.
Oh,
and there
Lord.
Were a couple of night vision cameras that were still rolling. And you could see the cast having a good time together and with the stripper. And so there are lots of accusations thrown around the next morning, lots of denials, lots of acceptance, which I love to see. Because to me, when it comes to that kind of shit, you just got to stand in it. Like, if you did something like that, you did it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you and her was kissing, y'all was kissing, you know what I'm saying? And if y'all kissed that, that's what happened. But so it just, that is his birthed these conflicts that I think are going to last for the rest of the season. This was definitely a pivot in the relationship. Well, and I use that term sparingly, loosely, the relationship between Kenya and Portia. It was already threadbare at best. And now after this, you can forget it. Portia and Kenya hate each other after this. And you can tell, you can see the seeds being planted. That is what we are going to be looking forward to. Also, you're going to see a shift in the dynamic between Kenya and LaToya, because they have been so close bosom buddies, but apparently LaToya was in somebody else's bosom because somebody said that Tanya's titty fell in LaToya's mouth. But that's another thing. And then Tanya never comes back after this. Yeah, Tanya quit filming the show. She never comes back. This is like her last. Remember, Tamar said that on the Braxton. She's like, this is my last scene and season. This was Tanya's last scene and season. For sure. But you just have to watch it. It's very good. Please watch it. And we're going to have a deep dive recap of Love and Marriage Huntsville. Miss Wanda has been showing her ass. Once again, stellar programming from Carlos King and the people over at OWN. Love and Marriage Huntsville. Y'all watch it. We're going to take a deep dive into that next week. Thank you.
And what about the reunion for...
There's nothing to say. I could care less. I'm going to watch season two, but I don't care about any of that. And the more and more I see Mary Cosby's dress, I wasn't into it, but now I like it. I love the color. And Mary Cosby's dress, those are good sequins. When you see that dress and you think about some of the other sequin pieces you've seen in your life, you'll immediately be able to tell those are some good damn sequins in that dress. That's a nice fucking dress. You hear me?
They're not from Michael's.
Baby. That's
city.
That fabric wasn't on no bolt or no whatever that thing is called. You know, that, there wasn't no big ass thing from the fabric store. That is couture, and those are some good damn sequins. When you see a picture of that, I'm gonna send you a picture of that fucking dress. Those are some good damn sequins. You hear me? That was good craftsmanship. So that's it. She ain't shit, but that dress, that was a good dress. Cause you know you heard her cussing her church out, right? Mm-hmm. About that money. Well, I'll talk about it next week. Go ahead. Love y'all. Thank you.
Thank you for an amazing episode, guys. I love you guys. You too. As always, thank you to the listeners for listening and following along for yet another week. We love you so much. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Yes.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.